chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And, I didn't need to mention, I just saw this up here. Pastor Nathan wanted me to let you know that we have some Christmas invitations to folks to come to our special program on the 19th of December. It says you are invited to a Christmas Carol sing-along. And we are, and I'm reading the back, he says, we are excited to invite you to an evening of Christmas carols and scripture reading as we walk through the Christmas story. Come enjoy the music, sing along, and stay afterward for a time of Christmas cookies and refreshment. And it's going to be here at the church on December 19th at 6 p.m. And so, as you are visiting folks, I know some of you are out trying to visit people, make sure they get one of these and invite them to that event. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. 1 Peter, chapter 3. And the scripture here tells us, and if I can get there, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. We have been dealing with the aspect of finding God's will. Now, God has a purpose for you, and this is important that you understand this. God knows what He wants from you. Now, it's important that you will be successful. And Bob Jones Sr. used to say that success is finding out God's will and doing it. And so we've been dealing with the aspect of finding God's will. Now, many matters in the Scripture are very clearly taught. And it's important that we understand that, you know, when the Bible says to pray, we know that we are to pray. We're to study God's Word. We know that that's something that God would have us to do. God tells us and commands us to witness. God commands us to do a lot of things. And so really, what we have a responsibility to do as Christians is to find out what God says. Now, it is not my responsibility as a preacher to get up here and give you all my opinions. Now, as enticing as that might be, and enjoyable it might be, that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to take the Bible and show you what God says. That's why I very carefully will look at verses with you and say, okay, based on what that text says, this means this. And when somebody comes and asks me a question about something, you know, I already mentioned in the prayer regarding abortion. Well, if you take a subject of abortion, you know, everybody has an opinion, but the Bible tells us that life begins at conception. And so to murder a child in the womb is to murder. Now, how do I know that? Because the Bible states that. The Bible tells us that we should not kill, and killing is to take the life of someone that you don't have the right to take. I was listening to someone today, and I was mentioning this, someone going on about, well, the woman should have the right to her body. Yeah, but a woman does not have a right to murder. And I have the right to swing my arms, as I've often said, but I don't have the right to punch you in the mouth with my arms. So, better not get too far off on that. We'll never get into our message here. But the point is, the Bible states certain things to be true and certain things to be false. And it's not a matter of my opinion. It's a matter of me finding out what the Bible says. So someone asked me a question, well, what about such and such? And my first response is, okay, let's run through the Bible. What does it say? And sometimes as I'm processing through the Bible, I come to, oh yeah, that verse says that. So we have to be very, very careful. Now, what about things that are not stated in the Bible? And there's a lot of issues. The Bible doesn't say anything about the internet. The Bible doesn't say anything about certain sports, such as football or baseball. It doesn't say a lot of things. But yet we have a responsibility to find out what would God think about that issue. And the way we do that is to try to follow biblical principles. So we want to find God's will through biblical principles. Now, and let's see if we're going to work here. Good. What is a principle? Anybody remember what we said about that? Very good. All right. It's a basic truth that applies to all areas of life. And there are some things in the Bible that it doesn't say, thou shalt not, but when you follow certain principles, you can find out, okay, based on that principle, I can make a decision about what is right and what is wrong. So, in the last few weeks, we've been talking about biblical principles. And again, it's been so long since we started on this, I figured I'd better give you a PowerPoint just to review. Number one, we talked about the principle of faith. The principle of faith. And so we asked this question, do I doubt this? Now, we're dealing here with the conscience, aren't we? And we see in the Scripture that we will sometimes doubt things. Now, we're told in Romans 14, verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. So, if I do something and I'm not totally convinced it's right, it's best for me to just stay away from it. Now, it may be right, but until my conscience allows me to do those things, then it's best for me to stay away from it. If our heart condemns us, 1 John 3, it says that God is greater than our heart. And if our hearts condemn us not, we have confidence before God. So sometimes, you know, someone says, well, I think it's wrong to have this or to do this. So we go to the Scripture and we find out, oh, the Bible says it's okay. So even if I feel wrong about it, if the Bible states it, whatsoever the Bible says is so. But it's important that we understand the principle of faith. Number two, the principle of personal harm. All right, so the Bible tells us that there are some things that are harmful. And we see this, for instance, we ask this question, will this hurt me? Okay, so will this thing hurt me? Now, based on what we see in Scripture, there are certain things that we need to take into consideration on this. First of all, physically. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what know ye not? Your body is the what? Body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. You are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, if something is going to hurt my body, I need to stay away from it. Now, it's important that we understand that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So, this is why I don't take heroin. I don't take hard drugs. I don't think we should drink alcohol. Why? Because, as we showed you there, the Bible tells us that it is harmful. I mean, science tells it's harmful to the body, and so therefore, we should not do those things that hurt our body. Now, someone said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, that's because you don't care about God's will. But if you care about God's will, You don't want to do anything that's going to hurt your body. Or will it hurt us mentally? Philippians 4, verse 8 tells us that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, things that are just and pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us. So we have to ask ourselves, will this hurt us mentally? Now we have visitors tonight, and I would love to just go into all these illustrations, but we'll never get to our message tonight if I keep preaching to everybody that rotates in and out. But look into the scripture and you'll see that this should guard our media choices and the things that we allow our eyes to see. Job says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? And we could go on and on with that. So there is this principle. And does it hurt me spiritually? And Romans 14, 16 says, let not your good be evil spoken of. So sometimes might in yourself say, I see nothing wrong with it, but it can hurt somebody else. Which really will bring us to another point in a few minutes. We also looked at, thirdly, the principle of addiction. There is the principle of addiction. Now, so we have to ask ourselves, will this control me? So if I get involved in this thing, will it become addictive? And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:12 that I will not be brought under the power of anything. So we need to be very careful about taking things that would cause us to be addicted. You know, some people, they won't admit they're addicted to the media. But really, you ask somebody that knows you and say, do you think I'm addicted? Oh, yeah, you're addicted. Oh, I'm not addicted. You know, and this kind of thing, you know. Are you addicted to coffee? Now, I drink coffee. But I am not addicted to coffee. I can go for days without a cup of coffee. So, we have to ask ourselves the question, will this control me? Number four, the principle of being a stumbling block. We spent 3 weeks on that. And we have to ask the question, will this hurt others? And this certainly required us to really dig into this and to find out, okay, am I going to offend somebody? Now, to offend is not to just cause somebody to be bothered. But to offend is to cause them to stumble. So I've got to be careful with the things that I allow in my life that I cause somebody else to stumble. If I got up here and said, you know, I just drink a little whiskey every once in a while. Now somebody's going to say, well, my pastor, and I know they do this because they tell me this, my pastor doesn't see anything wrong with drinking alcohol. And I say, yeah, but I can control it. But you know what? What if somebody out listening to me says, well, if he can control it, I can control it, and they become an alcoholic. What have I done? I've hurt somebody else by the things which I allow. So we want to be very, very careful about causing somebody else to fall. Now tonight, I got 15 minutes to deal with this. The principle of being a godly witness. So I want to ask myself this question, okay? Can I effectively witness to others while doing this? Can I effectively witness to others while doing this? The fact is, even unsaved people understand there are certain things Christians should not do. Now, they'll do it themselves. And the hypocrisy is incredible out there. You know, rock artists can have all these orgies and have these drug parties and everything else, and everybody's like, whoa, yeah! You know, but a preacher does that, and man, he's terrible. Because they understand that Christians ought not do certain things. And everybody has a limit or a line. I don't see anything wrong with this. Okay, where is your line? What is it that you see no problem with doing and things that you do have a problem with doing? Now, I could talk about modesty, couldn't I? Oh, I shouldn't talk about modesty. Okay, why don't you just come to church naked? Anybody got a problem with that? Sure you do. Everybody has a line. So the real question is, okay, where are you going to draw that line? Unsaved people have a line. Now, they're constantly moving, aren't they? And now it's nothing wrong with, you know, as long as you love your partner, he's homosexual, it's okay. We shouldn't be prejudiced, okay? What about incest? Is that okay? Oh, no. What about abusing little girls? No! See, they have a line. And what we have to understand is that unsaved people have a line. And there is a line in which they draw that they think Christians shouldn't do that. Now, not all unsaved people are that way, but you know, in some ways or another, they have a line. So let's delve into this for a minute. Okay, we read 1 Peter chapter 3. Now it tells us, Peter says, sanctify the Lord God where? So make God holy where? In your hearts. You know, don't just play the game, come to church, I'm in church. You know, no, make sure that there is holiness in your heart. And then he says, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is within you. Now, this is a fascinating verse because it tells us here that there are people who are not Christians who don't have the blessed hope. They don't have the joy that comes with knowing Christ. And they look at you. Do they see that in you? Do they? I mean, that's a good question. Or are you just like all the other unbelievers? Do you tell the dirty jokes like everybody else tells? Or do you have a attitude like unsaved people have? Now, if you have a wrong attitude and you cross a line that they see is hypocritical, they're probably not thinking, boy, I'd like to have what they have. You know what they're probably thinking? He's just like me. But you show me a Christian who lives like a Christian, talks like a Christian, acts like a Christian, and he sees an unsaved person sees that, and they say, man, how did they do that? You say, well, I put on a show. No, make sure it's in your heart. Because anybody can put on a show. Even an actor can play the part. But not everybody... those who are actors, they let their acting facade down. So you might put on a show at church, but if it's not in your heart, What does that do? It's going to show up. It's going to show up in your home. It's going to show up at your job. So, but you know, here we have Pastor Nathan the other night preach. Remember, he talked about discipleship. He said you've got to, in order to disciple somebody, you've got to teach them. And then you've got to, secondly, be a good what? Remember? An example. All right? So, that is true as far as unsaved people are concerned. It is true that we are to teach them. That's why it tells us here, give an answer. You know, there's nothing wrong with talking to people, but also remember that unasked advice is terrible advice. You know that? Just go up to somebody and say, you know, I think you ought to do this. And they're going to say, oh, you are so wise. You know what they're going to probably say is, who do you think you are? So sometimes when we think about witnessing to people, we have to understand that sometimes the best thing we can do is to shut up for a while and show it in our lives. Isn't that what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 at the beginning of that chapter? Look up chapter 3 verse 1. If any obey not the word, they also may be won by the, without the word. And it says there, they may be won by the conversation. That's speaking about the lifestyle. So in other words, I have to not be an ungodly person if I'm going to influence people. At least I ought not be. And if somebody gets saved when you have an ungodly lifestyle, that's pure grace. It's not because of you. And that's why he says in verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation. That's the old English word for conduct. So, let's just think about this for a little bit. This should remind us of something. Didn't Jesus say something about salt and light? Who could tell me what he said about salt and light? Anybody know? Yeah, Matthew. You're the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its flavor, it's no good. As a matter of fact, he says you're good for... Boy, that's pretty strong language, Lord. That my life should be like salt that flavors the environment. My life should be as salt, I mean as light. You are the light of the world. Therefore, let your light so what? Shine before who? Men. Why? That they may see your good works. Now you go to chapter 6 of Matthew and he talks about the fact that some people do things for a show. But there is a sense in which I can live a life that is not putting on a show that will glorify God. So, if you go over, hold your hand here because we'll come back to 1 Peter. Look over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And it tells us in verse 14, do all things without what? And what? You know what that means? Don't be argumentative. Don't be bummed out all the time. You know, people look at you and say, what in the world? What's his problem? Don't be that way. verse 15, that ye may be what? Blameless. The word blameless there has the idea of not having any deserved accusations. Now, some people are going to say, oh, I don't like you, you know. But if it's not deserved, you know, that you can be blameless. There's nothing they can hold on to. Or that you might be the sons of God, I mean, harmless. You know, remember Jesus said, be wise as serpents and what? Harmless. You know what that word means? It means to not be mixed. It means to be sincere. You can be sincere, not a hypocrite. The sons of God, living like a child of God, without rebuke. Where are we supposed to do this? In the midst of a crooked and perverse what? Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, folks, if you're going to make a difference, you got to be different. You can't make a difference when you're just the same as everybody else around you. So, one more passage, back over to 1 Peter, and I'm watching the clock because I don't want to get hung and lassoed because I went a little long. 1 Peter chapter 3, we read that, but look at chapter 2. Verse 12, having your conversation, there's that word again, it means your manner of life, your conduct, and have it what? Honest among the Gentiles. That word honest means to be good. So in other words, you want to live right among the Gentiles. In this context, he's speaking about unsaved people. We don't have time to develop that. So, whereas they speak against you as what? Yeah, you don't want them to say, yeah, that guy calls himself a Christian. Look how evilly he lives. He lives just like ungodly people live. He says that they may be by your, what kind of works? Good works, which they shall behold. Glorify God when? Now, I need to cut right to the chase of this. Now, it's interesting. There is a day of visitation. We go out on visitation. And we go visit people. And what do we do when we visit people? We try to share the gospel with them. Now, there is a time in which everyone's going to face to face with God. They're going to visit God one day. I want to read something that Alan Stibbs says in his commentary regarding this day of visitation. He says, a visitation is a special drawing near of God to deal with men, either in judgment or in mercy. The phrase might therefore refer to the final day of judgment, when such malicious detractors of God's people will have to give God the glory and confess the truth concerning what they saw. But then he says here, however, it is more probably refers to the time in this life when God may deal with such an individual to bring them to repentance and faith. Now, if you've been saved, there was a day when you quit ignoring God and God got a hold of your heart. He visited you. Right? And when he visited you, you said, man, I gotta meet with God. Now, it's interesting though, Stibbs says this. He says, what he will then use to cause people to change their attitude will be the good works which they have seen, which they have hitherto deliberately misrepresented. So in other words, what this verse is telling us, you know, when you live a godly life in front of an evil person, he says that it's possible the day that God starts speaking to them, they'll consider your life and say, I want to be just like that person. So, The scripture here tells us that we ought to live a life that would cause somebody to want to be saved because they want what you have. You don't have that when you are acting like evil, wicked people. And it's important that we understand that sometimes when we live our lives, we can sometimes do things that would cause unsaved people to say, he's not a Christian. I know him. He lies just like they lie. He steals just like they steal. So, when I'm trying to find out God's will, I need to ask myself, okay, if I do this, whatever that is, whatever this is, could it cause somebody else to turn away from God? And a principle that we ought to ask ourselves is, can I effectively witness to others while doing, and you fill in the blank? And it may cause you to understand that, you know, maybe I better avoid this because sometimes people watching my life, whether it be my children, whether it be my parents, whether it be my siblings, whether it be my spouse. Remember, Brother Nathan was talking about discipleship in the family. If I do those things that are not considered proper by them, I don't see anything wrong with it, but they see something wrong with it, I could cause somebody else to turn away from God. That's why we need to live our lives, our attitudes. And it's interesting, because there in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, when he talks about they may ask a reason for the hope that's in you, and notice here, with meekness and fear. So not only do they see your life, but when they see your response, it's a godly response. Now, Lord, we ask that you'd help us. Help us, Father, to live by the principles that we find in your word. Lord, we ask that you would guide us, direct us, strengthen us, use us. Help us, Lord, to bring honor to your name. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.